A very, very warm welcome. Solara here, and I'm so excited to be with you on the very first episode of the Solara K-Star podcast of 2026. And this episode is going to be focused on something a little bit different. It's not going to be writing out a list of your goals or getting a clear plan of how you're going to fix yourself either. And it's certainly not going to be focusing on another year of pushing to achieve more either. We're going to be chatting about something much more powerful than that. We are going to be exploring and getting clear on the kind of year that you are making yourself available for. And I don't mean not what you're hoping happens either, and not what looks good on your vision board or in your goal setting book or on paper either, but what you are genuinely, emotionally, energetically giving yourself permission to live this year, because this year is definitely not going to be about doing more. Many of us are completely overwhelmed. We cannot do any more. But we are going to be looking at how you can create an amazing reality from inside out. You'll hear me saying many times on these episodes that our outward reality is a reflection of what is going on inside of us. But many of us try so hard to change the external, only getting frustrated and experiencing more of the same and feeling stuck and looping. But when we actually start to go in and change things on an internal level, that's when it all starts feeling easier. That's when we start getting the results that we want. So we're going to look at a little bit of wisdom that is pretty sure to change everything. So let's think about the things that we kind of normally have on our vision board list. It might be the holidays, the house, the car, the relationship. It might be health, but that's not actually what we're looking for in a deeper level. It's the feeling that we believe the thing will give us, which leads us to wanting the thing in the first place. So in other words, your new home is very rarely about the new house. It's more about a sense of stability. It's more about a sense of success or safety or grounding. And we look at money, it's very rarely about the numbers as well. I know that probably sounds a bit crazy because many of us feel that that is the root to all of our freedom, but actually it's very rarely about the numbers. What it is about is the relief the numbers bring, the choice the numbers bring, the breathing space the numbers bring. So actually, it's the relief, the choice, the breathing space and such like that we're actually looking for. We're looking to access these feelings through the thing of money or through the thing of the house. And also, if we think about relationships as well, relationships is also rarely about the person. What we're looking for is to experience feelings of companionship, of connection, of being seen, of feeling met and feeling loved and lovable. That's what we're looking for. Yes, the person can help us to experience those feelings, but unless we learn to create and cultivate those feelings within us, we're always going to be looking to the person to feed us what we need in order to feel those things. So we become more and more powerless in the process. So the thing, I keep referring to the thing, just to be clear, the car, the relationship, the holiday, whatever it might be, is the symbol. The feeling is what we're actually searching for through the symbol. So this is important because when it comes to manifestations, when it comes to experiencing all the good that you want to create, life responds to your feelings first. Feelings first, and then form comes second. So if we're stepping into a new year and we're stepping into a new year consciously, we don't start with a wish list of things. Although I love that kind of exercise, don't get me wrong. There's definitely a place for it. What we do is we start with the feelings that we are desiring to experience more of. Now, I want to be really clear here. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to enjoy the material fruits of the physical world. There's so much that we have that we can enjoy and experience. If we are wanting those things as a way to unlock the feelings, that's when it is always going to feel difficult. That's when it's always going to feel stressful. That's when it's always going to feel anxiety provoking. That's when it's always going to feel unstable. Life is absolutely meant to be enjoyed. There's no doubt about that. The way we go about it robs us of the enjoyment, which is what I want to get clear on today. And also, material gain is not unspiritual either. The universe, God, light, great spirit, whatever your higher power is, wants us to enjoy this life, wants all of us to equally enjoy this life in every single way. Wants us to enjoy comfort and fulfillment and a sense of purpose and a feeling of pleasure and expansion. We are meant to experience all of that. The issue comes in where we are creating all of that from. So when we are seeking those things that we want through fear, instability, sense of lack, insecurity, like kind of needing something outside of us to finally make us feel safe, needing something outside of us to finally make us feel like we belong, needing something outside of us to finally make us feel seen and heard. This is where all the enjoyment that we're meant to experience, it gets completely distorted. And that's why we struggle to enjoy the things when we have them, because all it seems to do is unlock another level of stress. Because the thing, it stops being something that we get to enjoy and starts to become something that we need in order to hold ourselves together, in order to feel safe, to prove our worth. And that is when our power quietly leaks outwards subconsciously. And then that just makes us have the feeling of needing to grasp for more. We begin asking the relationship, for example, to give us our worth. We begin to ask the house to give us our security and our stability and our status. We ask the money to give us safety, to give us freedom. And when we rely on external things to make us feel safe or to make us feel whole, that's when we are expecting them to do something that they simply can't do. So feelings like safety and worth and wholeness, those are internal states. They're created by our nervous system. They're created by our beliefs. They're created by our relationship with ourselves and not by circumstances. A house can be secure, but it can't tell your body that it's safe. Money can certainly give us options, but it can't calm an anxious nervous system. I've worked with a few people, actually. The most recent one was a lady who's incredibly opulent and prosperous in every way. But it was never, ever enough. Because the feeling that she was creating from was trying to reach for a sense of safety, to try and reach for a sense of stability and ease. But the more money she had, it wasn't actually giving her that. It was actually making the feeling and the situation a lot worse. A relationship can't heal old wounds around abandonment or self-worth. And this is where it's important to understand that external things are naturally unstable by nature, because life is changeable. Things change from one day to the next. They shift over time. And if our sense of safety or security or worth is tied to them, then our system is never going to fully relax. It's going to constantly stay alert. It's going to constantly grip. It's going to always be afraid of loss along the way. So external things, they don't create your inner state, but they absolutely respond to it. They tend to amplify what's already going on there. So when safety and trust and all those good things, when they exist inside of us, we can enjoy the house. We're not there anxious, worrying about whether we're going to lose it in one way or another. We can enjoy the money because we're not anxious about whether we will get more or what's going to happen in our future. We can enjoy the relationship without constantly fearing abandonment or feeling unheard or unseen. So when fear is still running the show, the very thing becomes your source of anxiety. And that's why I believe that this work is not about desire alone. It's about healing, moving through, removing, alchemizing, if you like, fear, removing it, alchemizing it completely from the equation so that we can create and enjoy the creation. And we can enjoy that feeling of being held and supported in that strong, solid foundation within us, rather than using it to fix something inside of us, which is what many of us do. We use the material world to feel better about ourselves in some way or another, whether it's the haircut, the dress, the suit, the facial, the face, whatever it might be, we're using something to help us to feel better about ourselves. Now, it's not to say that you can't enjoy those things. It's what we are using them for which determines the outcome that we experience. So now imagine this instead, right? Imagine that you already feel super safe and secure and grounded within yourself. You're feeling strong and you're feeling solid in yourself. You already have that feeling of internal safety, already have that feeling of worth, feeling of trusting yourself that no matter what happens, you'll handle it, which leaves you feeling even safer. Imagine you have that feeling of feeling steady and emotionally resourced. How different will the house feel then? You won't constantly be pacing up and down and having sleepless nights wondering how you're going to pay the bills and the mortgage. It's going to feel different. You are going to relax and you're going to love that house and you are going to bring more enjoyment into your life through that. And it's the same for relationships. Imagine how different you would feel if you had healthy boundaries, you loved yourself on deeper levels, you felt secure within yourself, you feel loved, you feel nourished, you feel nurtured, you feel heard from within. You're going to show up completely differently in that relationship. You're going to experience that relationship completely differently. And you're not going to need that relationship to keep you afloat. It's not going to be a lifeline. You're not going to be dependent on that relationship in any way. And it changes the whole trajectory of the relationship as a result of that. And it's the same with money. Imagine that you feel completely and utterly secure and safe and trusting. And you have a good relationship with yourself with regards to money. How will that change it? You'll enjoy it, right? You'll have much more gratitude and appreciation. And no doubt will attract more as a result of it because you don't need the money for your sense of worth, safety, success, etc., because you're already cultivating that from within you. So these, they're not as something that you need in order to feel safe, but something that adds to a life that already feels solid. And this is where for many of us, manifestation gets really confused. Because when we're subconsciously chasing things, working overtime to fix fear, anxiety, old wounds, without being willing to meet and heal what is going on underneath that, that's when the vibration gets really messy and it gets mixed and it gets distorted. And that's when we start feeling frustration and want to give up, or maybe we feel like we're stuck. Because on one hand, we're saying we want expansion. We want expansion, we want to receive, we want to enjoy life. And on the other hand, we're creating from contraction. So our system's in survival mode. We're tight, we're bound, our energy's woody. We're not going to experience good. So we're sending out incongruent messages to life, to the universe. We might be asking for prosperity and abundance, but actually we're just broadcasting fear. Again, it's that push-pull, it's mixed. It's like, oh, here it is, or no, it's not. Or here it is, or no, it's not. It's that rocking chair that I've spoken about in some of the previous episodes. And no amount of vision boarding, affirmations, scripting is going to ever override that. It's going to help, but for sure. I love all of those practices. I use them, I love them, I enjoy them, but it's not going to ever override the fear because you are trying to extract a feeling from a thing and the thing doesn't have the feeling, you're the being with the feeling. So this work is definitely not about denying desire. In fact, desire plays a huge role in it. But it is about slowly but surely removing fear from the equation. So yeah, it is about doing the deeper healing. I know that I've said this over and over again, and I am going to continue to say that because it is really important to grasp that. Because we want you to be able to create from a clean space so that what arrives in your life, you can actually enjoy it. You can look back and your nervous system's relaxed and you're kind of nodding your head going, I've done this. I've created this. This is lovely. And you get to enjoy all the aspects of what you have created, not just the stress response, limited perception of what you've created. So the law of attraction and what you manifest becomes a reflection of wholeness, if you like, and not a coping strategy. And that's when the things that you want will come. And that's when they will come and you will feel good and you will enjoy them at the same time. So creating from inside out is so back to front from what we have ever been taught to do. Creating from inside out means that you're no longer waiting for life to change so that you can feel different. You might find you've already tried that and it hasn't really worked for you and got you the results you want. You might find you get a little bit of traction and then you feel like you're going back down to different the lower levels in your practice again. So you begin choosing the emotional states that you are available for now, and then you let life reorganize itself around the choices that you have made internally. And no, it's not about pretending, although I know a lot of law of attraction teachings, fake it until you make it, and that can be fun, and it definitely gets you a certain on your journey. And it's not about bypassing either, like, you know, putting stuff under the rug or burying your head in the sand or pretending that certain things aren't happening or putting your power in a crystal or a tarot deck, or there's nothing wrong with any of those. It's what we're putting our power in these things. And that's when we're leaking more and more of our power every time. And this definitely is not about wishful thinking either. I mean, wishful thinking, I actually quite like that. Like, make a list of like 100 wishes. It's like wishful thinking. It's playful and it's fun. As long as it is playful and fun and not done through desperation or need or greed. So what you're stepping into now by focusing on the feeling rather than the thing, it's emotional authorship. And it begins by getting very, very honest about yourself, your life, your drivers, but also honest about what doors that you are ready to close. Because in order to step fully into 2026, as you step into 2026, there are feelings that you may no longer want to live from. And it's not because they'll never arise again either, by the way, because they no longer are going to be running the show for you. So think about the feelings that you're no longer going to be available for. And this is really important that you actually journal around this. You may want to just look at the timestamp of this episode and come back to this later. Like, what doors am I closing? What feelings am I no longer going to be available to experience? Is it chronic anxiety, insecurity, living with internal criticism, self-doubt, living in lack, feeling misunderstood and shrinking because of it, and twisting and bending yourself out of shape to accommodate someone or something else? Are you going to close the door on the feeling of bracing yourself for disappointment, of planning for the worst, or maybe over-explaining yourself to feel heard or to feel accepted? Closing the door of fear, insecurity, self-doubt, lack of self-worth, lack of self-esteem, not feeling lovable, not feeling wanted, not feeling like you matter, not feeling like you're important. Write those down. Set the intention now of closing the door on the next level of those feelings. When I say the next level, it's because each challenge, each part, each piece of our healing, if you like, it can be multi-layered. So it might mean shaving away a layer over a course of time. Each time you do that, you'll notice your external reality reorganizes itself and shifts itself to reflect the shift that you have made within. And even if it's the tiniest 1% shift, it can be such a feeling of relief as well. So just to clarify, closing a door does not mean the feeling never knocks again, because it will. It just means you're not going to invite it in to stay the night, to be a lodger. You're not going to invite it in for a cup of tea even. So the fear might still reappear. The doubt might still surface. Old emotional habits are going to continue to try and get your attention, but you're no longer willing to entertain them or respond to them in the way that you once did. You're going to see them for what they are instead. You're going to see them as fear-based responses, which were probably shaped by past experiences. And they're absolutely not true for who you are, where you are now. And you get to decide what feelings you want to experience in your future. So keeping the door closed doesn't mean that you're pretending and that you're bypassing the fear for the deeper healing. In fact, it's actually quite the opposite. It means you're willing to meet those feelings with love and with compassion and with curiosity and with accountability and the willingness to take responsibility and to do the inner work of understanding why they keep knocking on your door without allowing them to run your life. So just a little side note here, which I think is really important to mention as well. And none of this is about toxic positivity either. Toxic positivity is when you deny or suppress what you feel and you try to override it with forced optimism. That's burying your head, brushing under the carpet type things. We're talking about something completely different here. It's the balance. Think of a garden. You got to weed the garden and seed the garden. It's having that balance between the two and not getting too lost in one and too much in the weeds or too much in the toxic positivity. So this is about emotional intelligence. This is about discernment. It's definitely about cultivating awareness. It's a wiser way of relating to your inner world where you absolutely acknowledge what is rising within you when you're triggered. You acknowledge what needs healing and you are ready to embark on a journey to do the work because you're choosing not to live from that fear, which is very different than getting lost in it, which then takes us on to doors that we're opening. So this is the exciting part. This is the part I love. I mean, all of it's exciting because even the dark, dreary sludge of the shadow side of things, I know it can be really challenging and totally confronting at times, but there's a lot of good in that. If you haven't listened to episode 131 yet, I highly recommend it because we think maybe it's only our wounds that live in the shadow. It's not. There's a lot more that lives in there. And when we approach our journey with this kind of mindset, we start to unlock all of the good that's available there too. So now let's talk about what you're opening yourself up to. So think about it. Like, what feelings do you want to experience more of this year? And it's usually the opposite of what you don't want to experience. Oh, I just don't want to feel in fear or unstable or insecure or anxious anymore. Okay, well, what do you want? I want to feel stable. I want to feel secure. I want to feel joy and playfulness. I want to enjoy my life. These are the feelings, enjoyment and peace and playfulness and steadiness and security. And it's important that you're not doing this as kind of like looking at it like what, not what you think you want. It's feeling your way into this. It's not rationalizing, it's feeling. Like, what is it that I want to feel this year? Not what you think that you're meant to want either based on past conditioning and other programs running, but what your body and your nervous system are now ready to receive, what your body and your nervous system and your heart is quietly craving in the background, could be quietly craving the stability, the security, the feeling of calm, that feeling of ease, spaciousness, trust, joy, connection. Feeling understood, feeling like you matter, feeling like you're important, feeling like you're loved, feeling like you have a place. These are not just vague ideas. These are states of being, which is what we are looking for. And it makes complete sense that your mind may start to attach images to these. That's why you might have the image of the house bringing you the feeling. And yes, it can absolutely bring you that feeling once you've learned to bring that feeling to yourself first. The shift is remembering that the things are there to support the feeling, not to replace it, because you're not wanting to chase outcomes here. Whatever you chase seems to get further away anyway. But standing still and allowing outcomes to meet you when you are emotionally available and receptive, when the energy that you are giving out is congruent with the action that you are taking. So you don't have that internal push-pull feeling. So how do we live from these feelings right now? This is the big question. It's like, okay, well, this is all good. Yeah, I understand it. How do I it? That is so important. Oh, and this in itself is a journey because most people live like this. I will feel safe when. I will relax when. I will feel free when. I'll feel relief when. I'll feel better when. I'll feel good when. You see, we're always going to be out of reach here because we're looking for a thing that doesn't have feelings to give us the feeling that we want. So creating from the inside out asks something completely different from us. So let's take a second to ponder on that. So how would you move through your days if this feeling, let's just say safety or stability, or choose one of your own, how would you move through your days if this feeling was already familiar? How would it be different if you felt safe and secure within yourself and within life? How would you show up differently for yourself? How would you show up differently for your partner, for your kids, for your colleagues? You'll probably enjoy your relationships a lot more. You'll probably enjoy life a lot more as well. So we can ask ourselves questions. Okay, so if I move through life as if this feeling was already familiar, what do I notice that I'm no longer doing? No longer rushing around like a headless chicken, or I'm no longer trying to force outcomes or make opportunities come my way or try and change my partner in order to make me feel better about myself. I would stop doing all of that stuff. And it's like, okay, well, what would I start doing more of? And this is important. What would I start doing more of? I would slow down. I would take my time. I would work more on my own healing journey. I would focus more on cultivating good feelings and connect more with good feelings in my everyday life. Notice what leaves me feeling good and expanded. Notice what leaves me feeling bad and contracted and becoming more self-aware. And how would you show up differently if you weren't in fear or urgency? Would you say no more often? Would you take up a hobby because you have space now to enjoy life a little bit more, something you've always wanted to do? How would you choose differently? What would you do differently? And these prompts are really important to ponder, not just listening to this podcast, going, oh, that's really nice, and then getting lost back into the ordinary everyday reality. It's listening to this again when you've got a pen and paper and making a commitment to yourself to journal on these. You're the author of your next chapter. So you need to get clear, like, how would I choose differently if I wasn't driven by fear or urgency anymore? What would I do more of? What would I do less of? And I meet so many people who are so overwhelmed and wrung out like a sponge because they're having to push so hard. And it just feels like it's just treading water and not really getting anywhere. If you actually knew that it was safe for you to slow down a little bit, what would you do? Would it be the yoga class? Would it be sitting in the garden listening to the birds? Would it be to take regular naps and rest, Epsom salt bath, whatever it might be, rather than constantly push, 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 push? And this isn't about, like I said, the happy, clappy Pollyanna and living in this lovely state permanently. I wish we could. I'm not being negative either, by the way. Challenges are meant to change us. If we weren't challenged, we wouldn't change. So it's good that we are stretched. It's good that we feel the contrast of these feelings. It's not good to get stuck in them. It's not good to think that that's the only thing that is available for us in life. But what it is about is giving your mind, your emotions, your energy system repeated snippets of lived experiences of safety, of steadiness, of trust, because your nervous system definitely won't change with intention alone. It's going to change through experience. There is a meditation on insight timer. It is experience more good. I'll probably find out, put it in the show notes, just because I've recorded a few recently and it's like tuning into what feels good right now. And when I wanted to create more stability and more safety in my system, because I was always so unstable and felt so unsafe within myself, within life, things that had happened in my upbringing, choices I made which didn't help with those feelings as I was getting older. Every single day I did this meditation, like, what feels really good for me right now? And I remember the first time I ever did this, I was laid on the floor It was actually really nice because this beam of sun was shining down upon me. And it's like, what is it that my heart desires to experience more of? And it's that feeling of security and that feeling of stability. And because I was lying on the floor and I was like, well, this floor feels very secure and stable right now. And I was like, oh, wow, I could actually tap into that because I am stable and secure. The floor's not just going to move from underneath my feet. It's not going to just start wobbling. So I enjoyed and allowed myself rather to experience the feeling of the stability that the floor was giving me and how it was holding me and what that felt like in my system to feel secure and held. And I did that every day. And as a result of that, life started to readjust itself around me. And now I feel the most stable and secure I ever have done. And it continues to get better and better all the time. And that's what I mean. It changes through experience. Because you also want to program your nervous system. Because they're unfamiliar to your nervous system is going to protect you against them. That's why doing little exercises like I did on the floor, slowly getting my nervous system to recognize stability and safety when it saw it. So it didn't sabotage me. And what that did is it created a new internal reference point for me. And it wasn't about forcing a frequency either. It was gently acclimatizing to a whole new emotional home inside of me. And life, like I said, it started to respond to that. It was actually quite amazing. So what kind of year are you available for? As you enter 2026, what are you genuinely available to experience more of? I know it's not going to be a year of constant striving. We can slam the door on that one. What about a year of feeling in alignment and feeling a sense of ease and flow? Yep. I'm available for alignment, ease, and flow. You can close the door on the emotional chaos dressed up as growth. I'm available for a year of steadiness and stability and security and self-trust. You can slam the door on all those repeated feelings. They might show up in new flashy packaging, but you might find that the repeated feelings, they're all just the same thing. They just show up in the house or the car or the relationship or the top or the dress or the aftershave or the makeup or the whatever it might be. This is about you becoming available for something more. And you become available with the doors you close, with the doors that you open, and with the feelings that you are now consciously choosing to live from. So perhaps this year is not about becoming someone new. You are already perfect, brilliant, and beautiful the way you are. You don't need to become someone new or different. What you can do, though, is let go of all the programs that are messing with your vibe and your frequency, which is stopping you from connecting with the real you and enjoying and expanding on the energy of that. So this year is about becoming emotionally congruent with the life that you want to live from. So let this be the year that everything gets aligned. Let this be the year that you allow your feelings to be the magnet. Let this be the year that you become available for you because you deserve it. As always, thank you for being a part of this very first episode. I feel very honored that you've taken the time to listen. And as always, like and share it if you feel somebody out there could do with this wisdom. If you want to explore one-to-one coaching, I would love to have an initial conversation with you around whether I can help and what you're looking to achieve. I love those conversations. It's always really nice just to meet you anyway. Remember, I'm going to pop the show notes and insight timer for the meditation. I'll make that clearer in the show notes which one that is. I found that very useful. And other than that, I look forward to journeying with you through 2026 with more wisdom, with more support, and with more feelings of ease and grace and flow, and of course, success. Anyway, thank you for taking the time to tune in. It has been beautiful to be with you, and I'll be back with you same time next week. Take care. Bye for now.